I hope you had a better night than I did. I came to St. Louis to have a horrible night last night. But it was because Robert Kimberly called me about 11 o'clock and wanted to know if I wanted to go out to a local bar to drink. And I was not used to that. So, Robert, I paid for it, brother. I paid for it. I didn't get here Monday because of the bad weather and the storms that we had across the country. So I got to the airport. Actually was to be in a board meeting at the Christian Chronicle. And Lynn was to be honored on Sunday night for his work and service at the Chronicle. But the storm kept me in the airport all day long. I finally went back home to spend the night and try to make another stab at it Monday morning. Finally got here. And I want you to know I was nervous about getting to honor Lynn, and then if I was even going to get here to make this conference. But I wasn't nearly as nervous as I was the other day going down I-75 for a speaking appointment in Tampa. So I had to use a bathroom. I stopped at the rest stop. I go in the men's room, and there's a guy, I assumed it was a guy in the stall. So I go in the stall next to him, and I'm just about to sit down, and he said, what's going on today? Well, that made me more nervous. He said, is everything all right? Well, I didn't know where to answer him or not, so I said, yeah, everything's going fine. Why do you ask? And he said, honey, I got to hang up and get out of here. There's a crazy man in the stall next. So if you're on I-75 in Florida and you're going down the way, then you need to be careful. That's all I can say. I want to do something a little different for our Devo this morning, something I haven't done before. But I want to think with you a moment about vessels for God. I see all of you as vessels for God. And I have such respect and admiration for this group of men and women doing what you do in the kingdom that I couldn't even put that in words. So I want to illustrate a little bit. Danny, could you help me here just a moment, get started? Danny, and here's the situation. He is very, very thirsty. I went by the restaurant this morning, Danny, and I got this pitcher I borrowed from them with water in it. And you are very, very thirsty, I can tell. You've run out of coffee, sport. You need some water. So I brought some glasses with me. I went over to Walmart, and I got some glasses. And I'd like to give you this glass, and I will give you some water. What's wrong with it?
It's got weeds and dirt inside of it.
Oh, so that won't work. That's dirty. That glass is dirty. That won't work. Let's just put it right here. Well, I have another glass here that I brought, and I'll give it to you for some water. No, you look puzzled again.
It's full of Rice Krispies.
Oh, okay. Well, you need milk, not water. Okay, well, then that one's full. Not empty. You can't put any water in that, can you, Danny?
I don't think so.
Well, I have another glass, and it's clean, and it's empty. And it's right up there above that light fixture on that mirror. You see it up there, Danny?
I don't see it, but I thought you.
Well, it's Danny.
Okay.
You've got more problems than clean.
Maybe.
See that little glass up there on top?
I do see that. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Well, you see, Danny, that's a clean, brand new, empty glass, but it's unavailable. It's not usable because it's unavailable. Now, since we've looked at all this stuff here, I have another glass. Now, would you come help us just a moment, ma'am? Yes, ma'am. And if you'd do this for me, I want you to, I want Danny to hear this, that she snaps it. You heard it. So let's give Danny a fresh, clean, come on, come on. Okay, that's good. Danny, here's your glass of water. Danny. Danny.
Yes.
Wow. What's the problem, Danny?
Well, I've...
You can't trust these executive directors.
I knew that.
Well, this one has... It's not trustworthy. It's unreliable. So, Danny, you did a good job with that. I'm going to put that one right there, okay, because I can't trust you either. So, if Danny did a good job, let's give him a big hand. Thank you, Danny. I've got a few notes that I want to refer to here. When I think about you guys and ladies out there in child care, think about all that we do in children and family services. Sometimes we get thirsty, don't we? Shake your head this way. And sometimes people we deal with are pretty dirty, right? Sometimes it's those that we wouldn't expect at all. And sometimes people are so full of other things, they don't have any room left to do what needs to be done. And sometimes we can be so full of other things that maybe we don't have room for God. I was in ministry for 24 years, working in various capacities of the church when I went to Mount Dora. And I never will forget, after I'd been there for, I guess, a couple of years, I really felt empty. Harold, I'd been in a different position than I was in, a position of ministry where really I spent more time in the Word. I spent more time teaching others. I spent more time speaking. I spent a lot of time doing this and that for other. And Robert, I got pretty washed out. Even confessed to my staff that I was just worn out. Just didn't have, there was something missing. But I want us to hear the word of the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 4, don't know where I am here. In 2 Corinthians 4, maybe I've hit too many buttons here. I didn't hit enough buttons, did I? Here's the message. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in your hearts to give you the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show his all-surpassing power that is from God and not from you. King James Version, you remember, speaks of earthen vessels, jars of clay. I've been to St. Louis 4 or 5 times. Once just for a vacation. And I'm amazed at all the sights to see around here. But since I have a construction side and a mechanical side to me, I was amazed when I saw the movie, the film, at the bottom of the arch, how it was made. I was staggered. And you talk about nervous. I think I was more nervous watching those guys build that arch than I was on I-75 the other day. But I was amazed. We talk about the gateway to the heart of God. Harold, I loved your book on listening to the heartbeat of God, listening to the heart of God. That's what all of you do. That's what we do in our work. And I would hope that all of us would have room for the fruit of the Spirit always in our lives, that we would always be a gateway for the heart of God, and that we would always have room in our heart for God. Amen. Because here's the gateway to the heart of God, is to be open to the Spirit of God. And many of you can quote these things of love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. You know all that stuff. But what are we doing with it? And are we really open to the heart of God? You know, if we're going to be vessels for God, it carries with it the idea of being selfless. You know, all of us are born selfish. I oftentimes think when I'm considering these ideas of a little baby that wakes up at 2 o'clock in the morning. You men are asleep. Y'all don't even know the baby's crying. But the baby wakes up. Mother hadn't slept in 2 nights. And she's in there rocking and cuddling and talking to the baby, trying to get the baby to be quiet, trying to get the baby to calm down, but the baby's not listening. Has no consideration for her mother, who is worn out. That pretty well indicates what James Moore looks like sometimes in my own selfishness and not being empty and open 24/7, 365 to the fruit of the Spirit that would open me up further to the gateway of God's heart. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The idea of brokenness is seen in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount when he said, blessed are those who mourn. So God needs an empty vessel. God needs a clean vessel. God, you know, all of us, are you listening? I'm fixing to say something really important. God can only fill an empty vessel. If you're full of other things, there's not much room for God. Guys and ladies, if we're so full of social work, taking care of kids, the good ones and the bad ones, and mothers and daddies, the good ones and the bad ones, and if we're so busy with details and organization and structure and management and raising money, and on, being a daddy and a mommy to our own kids. If we're so full of that, we won't have enough room for God on the other end of the spectrum. Amen?
Amen.
We can get too busy. I know I lead a busy, busy life, just like you do. I live in the fast lane of life. And I have to discipline myself to make sure that I have room for God. We need to be clean. We need to be empty. Did you hear me? God can only fill an empty vessel. And then we need to be clean. Listen to Scripture. Hear the word of the Lord. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? And what fellowship can light have with darkness? And what harmony is there between Christ and Belial? And what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever. And what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. And as God said, I will live with them, and I will walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they will be the gateway to my work, to my business, and to helping others know about me, not only to get their life straight emotionally and physically, but also for us to remember that if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, what good was social work? I mean, what good is a doctorate? What good is education? What good is money? If you gain the whole world, have a lot of recognition, and do a lot of good things, but lose your own soul. So here's what God said. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, did you hear it? It's a promise from God. Dear friends, let us purify ourselves from anything that contaminates the body and the spirit, perfecting holiness in out of reverence for God. And we've got to be available. Available to do the most important things. I have a good friend, and I love tools. I grew up a plumber. I literally grew up playing in septic tanks and commodes. My daddy owned a plumbing business for 60 years. I loved plumbing. I love anything that's mechanical or electrical. I like stuff. I have a friend who's got every tool under the sun. A lot of them are old. A lot of them are new. Some of them are very expensive, but he can't find any of them. He never knows where they are, and he's amazed at himself. And he knows how to use all of them. He can tell you where he bought it, how much he paid for it, but they're unavailable because he can't find them. I love the story in Luke 14 where this big banquet was going to be thrown, and all these invitations had been sent out, and people like Steve worked so hard to get all the invitations programming out. And then one dude said, well, got time for the banquet. He began to make excuses, and he said, well, you know, I just bought a piece of land. I got another piece of real estate, we would say. I've got to talk to my broker. And the message was his possessions were keeping him from being available. Another guy, you know, bought 5 yoke of oxen. He had to go try them. His job was keeping him from being available. Is your job in your agency keeping you from being available? Or are we saying, that's how I am available? And there's a lot for that. And I appreciate your availability. I love family like you do. But Jesus said in this story that one of these people said, I can't come because my father is sick. And I got to go take care of the dead. Well, all of you know the message and the meaning of that story. And the final point, as the guy said yesterday, I'm almost finished. I got 13 minutes. But Steve, I'm almost finished. And I punched a hole in this glass, Danny, intentionally, so it would not be reliable. I really wanted water to be spilled all over the front of you, but It didn't quite work that way. I was more understanding and tolerant because I was trying to be patient and practice a little self-control. But we got to be available. Nathan, are you listening? It's not my age. I'm 73. It's not my age. It's not where I live or what I do. That's not it. But I am very concerned about the leadership of our agencies in the future. What are we doing to train and develop leaders in the kingdom? And what are we doing to train and develop leadership for all of our child care agencies across our brotherhood? Do we have a plan? Are we thinking about it? They're not standing on every corner. And here's what the good book says in 2 Timothy 2. Paul said to Timothy, now the things that I taught you, you go and train others who will be able to carry on the message. Our attendance at these meetings aren't what they used to be. We don't have as many agencies as we used to have. More children, more families. But I think we have to do something that would cause others to be trained and be reliable. So I leave this thought with you. We're all vessels of God. I couldn't stand here this morning and tell you how much I appreciate each and every one of you. Some of you I don't know well. Others I know extremely well. And I'm so proud. I take great pride in the fact that you have opened up your heart and your gate to the mind of God. Because Scripture still says that pure religion at its best is to take care of the fatherless and the widows. And so this morning, I want to encourage you in your work. Let's keep the fight, let's keep the faith, and let's not quit.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.